Come on, let's give that to Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give that to Jesus. Hallelujah. God, we give you praise. Oh, yes, we do. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, what an awesome, awesome presence of the Lord that is in this house. And I'm going to hasten to the word of the Lord. I cannot say enough about your pastor and his ministry, not only here, but throughout this Florida district and beyond. What an amazing friend he has been to me. And it is my pleasure and honor to be here today. And I would like to just tell you that in this hour, get behind a man that preaches truth like your pastor and fill this place up and make him build a church. Make him build a church. Amen. Praise God. 1 Kings 18, I'm not going to do much exchanging of pleasantries. I know you guys. You're a great church, great preaching church. I just want to share with you something that has been on my heart, and I believe that 2017 is a year of not only supernatural growth, but I believe it's a year of taking my nothing and making something out of it. Now, I will not tell you that I've not preached this before, but I've only preached it to our church. And since the time that I preached this to our church, my own ministry has changed to our church. Our church has worship like they've not worshiped, come to prayer meetings like they've not come to prayer meetings, and done things that I am just so excited about. I pray that I will be able to bless you today, whether it's teaching or preaching, that God will minister tonight. So 1 Kings 18, 42 through 46. Amen. I know you feel like a jack-in-the-box, but if you would stand in honor, not to me, but to the word of the Lord. I might just get a little bit excited because it excites me of what God is going to do in his church in 2017. We don't know when Jesus is coming back, but he could come back at any time. If that's the case, we need to be doing something for the Lord and doing something that creates something and not a nothing. Amen. I feel like for too long we've been doing something and getting no results. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of that in my own life, my ministry, my church, everything. I'm tired of getting nothing for what I'm putting into the kingdom. 1 Kings 18, verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is what? That's what you've been seeing, and what that might have been what you saw in 2016. I'm not telling you God didn't do something for us. But I'm telling you, too many times we have prayed and sought God and worshiped, and through our prayer we've seen nothing. And then we just went on and tried to do something else and left it like God wasn't interested in our prayer. But Elijah said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. Would you pray with me now as Pastor comes and prays for this message?
Lord, I know you've come to speak to us tonight, and we have come to listen. You have sent this man to preach the word, to stir us up. God, I pray somehow before we leave, we get the revelation of what is going to be preached here tonight, and it becomes a part of our life. I speak it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we receive it in your name. We pray, and everybody say, in Jesus' name.
You may be seated. Let me remind you first that in Genesis 1, in the beginning, there was God, and beside God in his glory, it is all that God is, a character of God. Yet the earth was without form and void, so as we know it, there was nothing. And the Bible says that in Jeremiah 32:17, He says, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. So God began to speak, and God used creation to bring forth the beauty that you and I experience today, and he made us in his image. I just want to tell you, it's a side note of this message. If God made us in his image, and God is a creator, there is some creative character in us to take nothing and make something out of it. I don't know what you think, but I'm here to tell you something. God planted a seed in you, and God gave you the raw material that you need. This isn't even my message. So that you can take what God has given to you and make something out of it. But too long, we've been like the man that got the one talent, and we dug in the earth, and we buried it because we were afraid that when the Lord came back, we wouldn't have anything to show for it. But I'm here to tell you something. If you have buried your talent, if you have buried the raw material that God has given to you, go back and dig it up and brush it off and put it to use, because God gave it to you so you could bless his kingdom and your family could be blessed and your finances could be blessed. We've got to quit abusing the blessing of what God has given to us. That's not my message, though. But I'm here to tell you something. God wants to show his church collectively what you can do, not what he can do. We know what he can do. He can do whatever we allow him to do. But God wants to show the church what the church can do through him with nothing. So you prayed last year and you got nothing. You prayed for your family and they're not saved. I'm telling you, wives have prayed for their husbands and they're still not saved. You prayed, you believed God, you gave tithe and offering, and you saw nothing. And I'm here to tell you, your nothing is going to be turned into something when you follow the principles of the Word of God. I'm not telling you, you're not just going to sit back at home and it's going to take place. There are some biblical principles that we need to follow if we want to see our nothing become something. And I do. Five things that I found in this scripture. I'm not the first to find it, but hear me. The first thing you've got to do, if you're going to take your nothing and make something out of it, you've got to destroy. I didn't say put them in the closet. You've got to destroy the hindrances and obstacles. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience. Verse 2, the race that is set before us. You know what? I am amazed. We hear of a king named Josiah, and it's all throughout Chronicles in the case. This young boy was 8 years old when he began to reign. What I find very interesting is that in 2 Chronicles 34 and 3 and verse 4, it said in the 8th year, he's 16 years old now. The Bible says while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And it hit me. For 8 years, he worshiped and he loved God, but he saw what? Nothing. I'll prove it to you. He saw nothing. Because the Bible said in the 8th year of his reign, when he was 16, he began to seek after God. 4 years later, the Bible says in his 12th year, he began to purge Judah. He began to remove that's what it says. He began to remove the obstacles, the high places, the groves, the carved images, the molten images. Because he realized, I've seen nothing because I've done nothing. I might have worshiped the Lord. I might have went to church. I might have paid my tithe. But I didn't remove the obstacles that were set in place when I came in as a king. And therefore, I'm getting the same thing I've always gotten.
And let me tell you what too many people do. They get mad at God in this time because they say, God, I've come to church. I put my tithe in the offering basket. I've worshiped. I've even sang. And I play musical instruments. Why am I struggling? Josiah was a godly king, but he had to seek God, and God revealed to him, there's some things that you have not removed. And unless you remove these things, the blessing of my kingdom and my glory will not be upon you. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to see God move. Are you? Therefore, you've got to remove the obstacles. And what amazes me, can we continue to read? The Bible says, we got some bugs in here. Here we go. It said, verse 4, and they break down the altars of Balaam. But what I like is it says, in his presence. Now, we're not talking about the presence of God. We're talking about the presence of the king. I like that because he didn't just say, go break them down. He said, no. We're going to break down the altars. We're going to cut down the groves. We're going to get rid of idolatry in this country. We are going to serve the Lord with all of our heart. And I'm going to travel with you to make sure you do it. Now that's a leader. Can I tell you something? You are following a pastor that has full belief in the miracle working power of God, that this church is going to not only plant Daughter Works, but it's going to grow right here. It's going to plant more Daughter Works. It's not only going to reach around the world. It's going to reach throughout the United States. What is the limit to our church? There is no limit. When you remove the obstacles, God has free reign in his church. So therefore, let's get removing the obstacles. Let's stop letting the things hinder us that have been hindering us year after year after year. So this is what he did. I got to hurry up because the Bible says he removed Balaam. It was the altars of Balaam. So I said, well, you know what? I got to look up what Baal means. Baal means to be master. It also means, and this blew me away, because we're supposed to be the bride. Jesus is the husband, right? We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb, and we've got to be a spotless bride. But by destroying those altars of Baal, he was destroying not only saying that Baal is our master, but Baal means to marry or to have dominion over or to be the husband of. Think the devil's got a substitute? I'm telling you, Baal was the substitute for Jehovah God in the Old Testament. And you know what? You know what the man of God says? You know what this man of God who was the king said? We got to get rid of the obstacles. We got to take care of all the things that are hindering us. We've got to have a move of God. So I'm telling you something. You might have to go home and do some things. You might have to change what you listen to, change who you hang around, change what you watch. I'm telling you, I'm not your pastor. I'm not telling you what it is. I believe we already know what it is. And if you don't seek the Lord like the king did, because God will reveal what's in your way. And when God reveals it, my God, take it out of the way and let's have revival. It's time in 2017 to take our nothing and make something out of it. Second thing he did was he prayed. You know it, in front of his house, if my people will pray. You know what? We know the scripture. Let Brother Roberts bring it to you in another way. When you repented and I repented, God forgave us of all of our sins when we prayed. Think about your life. When we went to the waters of baptism, the man of God prayed before he baptized us in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wait a minute. We came to an altar and we prayed and we worshiped God and he filled us with the Holy Ghost. When we were healed, anybody been healed? I was. When we were healed, the Bible said, let them call upon the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And it hit me. I'm not just going to tell him about 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm not just going to tell him about Jesus saying, my house shall be called the house of prayer. God was speaking to me and saying, tell my people every good thing that has happened in their life. From the forgiveness of sins to the blood being applied to the Holy Ghost of God being infilled to the healing of their body or their marriage coming back together, all of it was because of prayer. Everything good in my life has been because of prayer. His mercy because of prayer. His grace because of prayer. His mercy is good even if I don't pray. But how did I get it in my life? I prayed. Makes sense to pray. As simple as it is. So why wouldn't you want to pray? Because everything good in our life has come because of prayer. We started this service off with prayer. When we give in the offering, we eat our food, we pray. Why would we not ask God to reveal the obstacles or the problems or the things that we need to do? We don't have a problem talking to people. Just look at our cell phone minutes. Okay, I'm going to get on to the next thing. The third thing he did was said, Elijah said to his servant. Now, I understand, I went from the king, Josiah, but let me go back to our original text. It was that there had been no rain on the earth for how long?
Oh, come on now. Is it 3.5 or is it 7? How long is that? That's a long time. Some people are saying, I have no clue. But I want you to think about it. It hadn't rained for a long time, and Elijah's praying, and he says, God spoke to him, pray that there would be some rain. So he prayed. And then he said, the next step is, servant, go look toward the sea and see if there's any sign.
So I removed my obstacles. No more obstacles. I prayed, but so many times we stop at the prayer and we don't look for the blessing. So the Bible says he went out and he looked and he saw a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Now I'm going to tell you something. We've had some droughts before and there's been many a clouds, but no rain. A little cloud doesn't mean there's going to be rain. But he didn't just say, go look for a cloud. He said, look intently. He said, you've got to realize we're looking because we're considering it. We are regarding it, and we have respect for the prayer that we prayed. Can I tell you, his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. So if I'm praying, I've removed the obstacles. Think God has heard my prayer. Then I got to realize that God has respect for my prayer. I ought to look for the blessing of God. I'm not just talking about on Sunday morning. I'm not just talking about on Wednesday night. I'm talking about every day. His benefits are loaded daily upon those that will remove the obstacles. Come on, somebody, and we'll pray every day. So every day I'm going to get up and I'm going to look for his blessing. I'm going to look for his provision. I'm going to look for his strength. I'm going to look for his encouragement. I'm going to look for his anointing. I'm going to look for his provision in my life. Join me. Let's take our nothing and make something out of it. I'm trying tonight. I hope I'm speaking to you. So many times I've looked at only the problem and never saw that God had a hand out there coming to bring the solution. So many times all I felt is the pain, and I never realized that the healing was on its way. And then I blew it because I was snared or taken by negative words and not taken by my positive words. And my faith wasn't where it should be. But if I remove the obstacles and I pray, my God, I should be strengthened in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. If that's the case, I'm not seeing it with a natural. Hallelujah. But when I look for it, I've already prayed. There's got to be something. There's got to be a seed that has been sown in me. And now I'm going to say, the seed is sown. I prayed. And now I'm going to start looking for it in reality, in the natural. I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be delivered. My children are going to be saved. My husband is coming. My wife is coming. Come on. It's time to take our nothings. And see it come to flourishing. I'm looking for a miracle, the old song says. Remember? What were they called? Something sisters sang that. Expecting the impossible. The sky is the limit to what I can have. Since when did God make us paupers? Or beggars? But he said he made us priests and kings. It's time to start looking for the blessing. And then the fourth thing, the servant came back to Elijah and he said, all I see is a little cloud. He said, go seven times. Now I'm not going to get off on the, I'm not going to start talking about the seven number, but what he was saying is the same thing. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in numbers. Jesus said, forgive him seven times 70. We're going, okay, I forgave you that many times, now you're in trouble. That's not what Jesus was saying. So what he was saying to his servant was, you go back again. Because remember, the first time he didn't see anything. I'm sorry, because I don't want to get you wrong. He didn't see nothing. And that's what we saw maybe when we first prayed. Nothing. He said, go back again. So he went back seven times and brought back the good report, but to him it was like, it's just a man's hand. It's just a little cloud. But it's something when I had nothing. It's something when I was looking for something, I found nothing. So when he came back and he brought back the word, I saw something on the seventh time. It reminded me of the story of the woman that just wouldn't give up with the judge. I don't know. I know Pastor preaches this, but we give up too easy. Lord, touch my children and save them. And then they go out and they get drunk. Well, I guess it's not God's will for my children to be saved. That's a lie. Lord, touch my husband and bring him in. I'm reminded of the woman that came to church and she said, Pastor, pray for my husband. I said, let's pray and believe God, but you got to look for something. I said, where does he spend most of his time? On that chair, drinking and watching TV. I said, good, let's pray over this cloth. You put it underneath the cushion and let something happen. I said, but sister, God's going to bring him in if you'll believe with me. Easter Sunday, guess who came into the church? Guess who was baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost? Guess who landed up on the platform sometime later playing the bass guitar? The one that she saw nothing from. She got up and went to church service after service after service and saw nothing. But she finally got tired of seeing nothing. She said, Pastor, help me to take my nothing and make something out of it. Some of us are all the way to the point where we just have to look for something. And if we're looking and we don't see anything, be persistent. Keep on knocking at the door. Keep on calling on the name of the Lord. Blind Bartimaeus did. Be quiet, beggar man. The Lord is busy, too busy for you. Can you turn this sub down? Jesus! You got to get to the point where you are so persistent that it doesn't matter what anybody says. I don't care if they're in the church or out of the church. It's you and God that need to meet together. It's your blessing, not theirs. So you need to keep on knocking and keep on praying and keep on worshiping and keep on giving and keep on doing what you've been doing. And never, never, never give up. I'm not going to be much longer, but let me tell you about a precious lady in our church. Her name is Sister Ruby. She is the most amazing lady. She had so many kids, I can't even remember. I think it was 12 or 14 kids. She tells me the story. Pastor, my husband was so mean. I get those children up. I dress all of them while I'm dressing one. He'd undress the other. I'd go back and I'm like, how in the God's name did you get to the end of the row? She said, I took him to church. She said, and I prayed for him. And she would bring me, pray for my husband. Pray for him. And so I prayed for him. I'd go visit him. We'd sit down. He'd talk like a saint. You know, he just talked so nice and great and everything. Then I leave, and he turned into the monster, you know. A lot of people act really different around the pastor, you know, what I'm talking about. No, it doesn't happen here, but it happens in Gainesville. Anyways, I'm about to get in trouble. And so we kept on praying. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. They moved away and went to Ohio to be close to one of her children that was very ill. And she called me on the phone and said, Pastor, you'll never believe it, but my husband was in the church today. Now that was a miracle in itself. I'm about to shout. And he repented of his sins. And he said, we're going back to Gainesville, and Pastor Roberts is going to baptize me in Jesus' name. The thing you don't realize is I baptized him in Jesus' name, but from the time that he repented, he got the Holy Ghost before he came back to Gainesville. I baptized him in a wheelchair. He died less than 6 months later. I'm saying to God be the glory for a woman that would not give up on her husband. For somebody that says, I'm going to knock on heaven's door until I see my blessing, until I receive my miracle. Hey, how about you? What is holding you back? Who's telling you that you might as well give up? Don't ever, ever give up if you want to see something from your nothing. Come on, let's put our hands together and bless the Lord. Today I had all the right words, but you know what, it's just me tonight. I gotta remind you that these legs work just as good as those legs do. But the doctor said I'd be in a wheelchair 20 years ago, and I'm still walking around and I'm still doing work. And I had people in the church telling me I didn't have any faith. I should go for the surgery. I should do all these things. And I've had surgery on my hand. I'm not telling you that it's wrong to get surgery. But the Lord spoke to me and told me he was going to heal me. And I held on to that. And I went back to work. And I worked in pain. And I came and laid on an ice pack month after month after month. But one morning, I got up, and this messed up back with pinched nerve and just a mess of a back. I got up, and I felt no pain, and I've been healed ever since. Thank God I didn't let somebody talk me out of my miracle. Be persistent. Keep on knocking. Keep on praying. Keep on loving God. Stay in the house of bread, because Moab has nothing for you. And I'm trying to finish. My final point is, Elijah said, you saw nothing, go back seven times. He comes back the seventh time. I see a little cloud the size of a man's hand. Elijah said, that's good enough for me. You go catch Ahab, and you tell him there's coming a rain. And you feel like a fool when you talk about your nothing becoming something. You go tell that Ahab. He better ride quick, because there's coming not just a rain, but there's a sound of an abundance of rain. Can you hear it now? You remove the obstacles. You pray. Come on, church. You look for it. You don't give up on it. And finally, you proclaim it. I don't care what they say. I told them I was healed. I told them I was blessed. I told them with his stripes I am healed. What saith it? The word is nigh thee. In thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess, that wasn't to sinners. It was the church of Rome. Those that are called to be saints. But listen, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If he's talking to saved people, what is he talking about? The word saved comes from the Greek word soteria. You know what it means? Healed, blessed, delivered, set free, encouraged. It means everything that we as a church need. I'm not, just because I'm saved doesn't mean I don't need encouragement. Just because I'm saved doesn't mean this body doesn't need to be healed. Just because I'm saved, it doesn't mean I don't need God's protection. I'm telling you, it's time to proclaim the blessing of God. Speak it. Like all those people that voted for Trump but don't won't tell nobody. I said, if you're going to vote for somebody, what's wrong with telling somebody? I don't really care how you voted, but I'm telling you this. We're just like that a lot of times. Don't want them to find out I'm a child of God. But honey, I thought you removed all the obstacles. What did Paul say? And if I could have musicians, please. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the... You know what I did? I went to people and I said, I'm healed. You mean you don't have any more pain? I didn't say that. I said, I'm healed. Yeah. Stick with the... Stay on task here. It's like an ADHD kid. Stay on task, please. I said, I'm healed. Because his Bible says, with his stripes, we are healed. It didn't say we will be. We are. I just believe God. So you know what you need to do? Hey, I'm tired of nothing. I'm tired of barren altars. I told my church, I'm tired of people not receiving the Holy Ghost. I'm tired of the waters of baptism not being stirred. It's time to take our nothing and make something out of it. So if you're ready to remove the obstacles, you ought to be come on down. If you're ready to pray like you've never prayed before, it's time to come on down. If you're time to look for it. See, we've been looking down too long. I will look into the hills from which cometh my help. I don't know about you, but my help cometh from the Lord. I'm looking, how about you? And if I don't see something, my Lord's going to hear the knock on the door, the voice in his ear, the heartbeat of this boy again and again. And then I'm just going to tell everybody, you know what? I'm blessed. Sister, I'm blessed. I can't tell you how blessed I am. Oh, what size house do you live in? Oh, no, you don't get it. I'm blessed. Do you understand? Can I tell you that I dropped off my oldest daughter today, who is a pastor's wife of a church in Guatemala? They pastor two churches, run a Bible school. And she has a little 2-year-old, Deborah. I'm so proud of them. They have taken a church that was just a handful of people, and I preached their dedication of their third building. There was 150 people there. She has taken, I don't know if you know much about the Spanish, some of you are Spanish culture, but she has taken no Sunday school and put it into a Sunday school of almost 75 kids in less than 2 years. Now I'm going to tell you something. That's not what I'm excited about most. I'm excited that both her and my youngest daughter are filled with the Holy Ghost. You know what? I know what people think. They think I'm too hard. Oh, you know what? My girls, they worked in the church. They didn't play under a pew. We didn't have a drummer. Get on the drums, Jennifer. She'd put something over her skirt. Bang, 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 bang. She played drums for I don't know how long. Rachel, she wanted to do, come on, Rachel, sing. You know what? We had leaves to break. We raked leaves together. Together, though, I didn't send them out if I wasn't going to do it. We clean bathrooms. They're both in the ministry. One's a youth pastor's wife in Colorado. The other one's a pastor's wife. I'm proud of my girls, but you know what? I look for something out of them. I have people that bring me their kids in the school. Do something with them, preacher. My God, what do you think I am? I'm not putting them in my home. What do you want me to do? You're the parent. I'm getting older. I just sort of get blonde now. You're going to have to get in church. Boy, are you praying? Are you coming to church? You want to look for something to do something worth looking for. So you know what? I'm so blessed. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm blessed. Let me ask you something. Who told you it wasn't God's will for you to be healed? Was it his scripture? The Bible says that Jesus healed all their infirmities. And the only time that he did not is when they were full of unbelief. And they questioned him. What about Paul? Have you ever done a study on Paul? He went to places where all their diseases were healed. What about Peter? Can you imagine your shadow healing people? I'm just wondering, what did blind Bartimaeus see that we don't see? You said he saw nothing. He was blind. Oh, but he saw something. He saw something because when they said Jesus was coming, he cried out the more. That's it, sister. Are we hungry enough in this apostolic church, regardless of the blessing that God gave us in 2016, to say we haven't scratched the surface of, hear me, of what God wants to do in this church, in my family, through my ministry, in my school, at my work, in my marriage? Come on, church, reach out to God. Hallelujah. How bad do you want something? Do you want it bad enough to get rid of the obstacles? Do you want it bad enough to pray more than just a prayer at the church? Do you want it bad enough to start looking for the good of God? And being persistent and not giving up. Do you want it bad enough to start speaking it? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What do you mean? Rise up and walk. You know that boy's been lame from his mother's. Well, you know. What are you talking about, Peter? This is going to ruin your ministry. I see something. When he reached down and spoke it, His feet and ankle bones receive strength. Read it in the book of Acts. My miracle, I'm telling you this, and I'll turn it back over to Pastor. My miracle's ready to leap and dance. My miracle's ready to get out of the dormant stage and get into the life that it was destined for, the blessing that God purposed it for. Hear me. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the doubters and the powders say. I was destined to be blessed by God. I'm one of His children. I'm the sheep of His pasture. It's time to take your nothing and make something out of it.
Come on, let's respond to this word tonight. There's miracles hovering right now. There's miracles in this building right now. Just reach a little further, reach a little higher. You've brought your nothing here tonight, but God's made something out of it. You've seen that cloud. You've prayed. You've held on to your miracle. We proclaim that miracle. Hallelujah. We receive your word tonight, God. Oh, come on, somebody, by faith, just speak it. Just speak it. Woo! The word says this is the confidence we have that when we pray, we know God hears us. Devil, you're a liar. God has heard my prayer. I have confidence in the prayer. I'm going to go look for the cloud because I know God has heard. That's what you're doing in this altar right now. That's what you're doing right now. You're proclaiming your belief that God has heard. You're reaching out to Him looking for that cloud. And I'm here to tell you, it is here. It is here. Woo! It's not on its way. It is here. Abundance of rain is in your life right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. I'm moving those obstacles out of the way. I'm going to find myself a place to pray. I'm going to have confidence in that prayer. I'm going to look for that cloud. I'm going to proclaim it. My, my. I'm telling you, the Lord's doing something right now. Come on, you're taking that nothing. You're making something out of it right now. You might not have seen anything in some of the prayers you've been praying, but I'm telling you, there's going to be incredible testimonies come out of this service tonight.
To change.
knew what I feel in this place. The glory of God is resting on this place. Faith has risen. Clouds the size of a man's hand have appeared. Oh, thank you, Jesus.